Warp 5. Warp 6. Warp 7. I've reached critical velocity.
Okay. Everything looks good on this end. Fire up the new engines.
Acknowledged. Engaging transwarp drive in 4, 3, 2... Transwarp online! Warp 9.2... 9.3... My vector's drifting.
Try to stabilize your field symmetry.
Got it. Warp 9.6... 9.7... I'm reading a fracture in the port nacelle pylon.
Full power to structural integrity.
Warp 9.9. 9.95. I'm approaching the threshold. But the nacelle isn't holding.
Tie in auxiliary power.
It's no use. I'm breaking up.
On the holodeck, B'Elanna Torres and Harry Kim stand looking down at the figure of Tom Paris, sitting on the floor and looking puzzled at the empty deck around him.
You're dead.
Tom runs a hand down his face and looks bitterly disappointed. British Sky Broadcasting presents Star Trek Voyager, based on Star Trek created by Gene Roddenberry. This episode is entitled Threshold, voiced by Roland Bean. Gas explodes outwards in a huge arc from an enormous sun. Nuclear reactions in the star's core send great gouts of flame thousands of miles into space. The Federation starship Voyager flies through a giant arc of fire on its continuing journey to find home. Its captain is Catherine Janeway. The starship Voyager pushes through clouds of dust and gas. Its flat, oval bow raised above and forward of the cylindrical body, to which the engine arms are fixed, forges a path through the unknown darkness of space. Billions of stars shine throughout the universe, illuminating huge gas clouds and multicolored planets. A blue-green planet is framed in a golden glow, surrounded by the jagged illuminations of gas and space debris. Voyager flies past great rocks covered in ice and on into the farthest reaches of infinite space. A blue-gray planet, streaked with clouds, turns in space. Its gravitational pull holds fragments of rock, the debris of dead planets and comets, in a thin band encircling the planet like a giant ring. As Voyager passes beyond the ringed planet and on towards others, an unknown sun, eclipsed by a satellite moon, is revealed as the moon moves on its eternal orbit. The darkness itself is eclipsed by the star's intense brightness. Millions of miles ahead of Voyager, a gigantic gaseous blue and red nebula proves the existence of many more galaxies. The engines power up, glowing bright blue either side of the starship, and it lunges forward, accelerating into the nebula and disappearing.
It's the pylon again. Every time we get close to crossing the threshold, the subspace torque rips a nacelle off the shuttle.
What about a duranium alloy? We could try using it to reinforce.
No, I thought about that already. It's too brittle.
More coffee? You look like a happy bunch.
We've hit a wall.
Oh, well, maybe I can help.
Great. You know anything about quantum warp theory or multispectral subspace engine design?
No, but I'm a quick study. What are we working on?
Do you have anything to eat?
Sure, there's some Calabian biscuits somewhere in the kitchen.
I guess I'll go find them myself. Fill them in.
Neelix, it would take too long to...
What are you saying? I'm not smart enough? I'll have you know, I did 2 years as an engineer's assistant aboard a Trebalian freighter. I'm well-versed in warp theory.
Okay, we'll tell you. We're trying to break the maximum warp barrier.
Nothing in the universe can go warp 10. It's a theoretical impossibility. In principle, if you were ever to reach warp 10, you'd be traveling at infinite velocity.
Infinite velocity? Got it, so that means very fast.
It means that you would occupy every point in the universe simultaneously. In theory, you could go any place in the wink of an eye. Time and distance would have no meaning.
If Voyager achieved warp 10, we could be home in as long as it takes to push a button.
Wow! And you're working on this?
We discovered a new form of dilithium in the asteroid field we surveyed last month. It remains stable at a much higher warp frequency.
The problem is, every time we simulate crossing the transwarp threshold, the nacelles get torn off the ship.
I remember there was a time when I lost a warp in a cell going through a dark matter nebula.
This is a very different problem.
I realize that. I'm just using it as an example. As the ship went through the nebula, it sent out a dark matter bow wave. Eventually, so much pressure built up, it tore the nacelle from its housing. Now, maybe the same thing is happening to you.
No, the simulations don't indicate any kind of subspace stress on the nacelles.
Wait a minute. What about the shuttle itself?
What do you mean?
Maybe we've been looking in the wrong place. What if the nacelles aren't being torn from the ship? What if the ship is being torn from the nacelles?
The hull of the shuttle is made of tritanium alloy. At the speeds we're talking about, that alloy could depolarize.
And create a velocity differential. The fuselage would be traveling at a faster rate of speed than the nacelles.
That means we just have to set up a depolarization matrix around the fuselage.
That's it! Neelix, you're a genius.
I have no idea what they just said.
Warp 9.92. The pylons are secure. Everything looks good. 9.97, 8, 9.
Everything goes still.
Warp 10.
You've crossed the threshold. You've done it. And there's been no damage to the nacelles.
In a conference room.
When you came to me a month ago and said you had a way to cross the transwarp threshold, I thought it was more of a fantasy than a theory. Congratulations to all of you.
So we can try a manned test flight?
What's your flight plan?
I'll bring the shuttle up to speed. The second I cross the threshold, I'll cut the engines, drop out of warp, and come about.
After that, we'll analyze the shuttle sensor logs. Once we know it's safe to travel at transwarp, we'll try a more extended flight.
To be honest, it's almost frightening. Up till now, it's all been theory. I never thought it would actually happen. Are we ready for it?
In the last couple of centuries, we've always managed to use new technologies wisely. I'm confident this time won't be any different. Besides, there's no way to put the genie back in the bottle. All we can do now is keep moving forward, carefully. Well, good luck, Mr. Paris. If this works, you'll be joining an elite group of pilots. Orville Wright, Neil Armstrong, Zephram Cochran, and Tom Paris.
I kind of like the way that sounds.
I thought you might.
Tom swells with pride as the captain smiles at him. Later, he is relaxing in his quarters.
Come in. Oh, Captain!
At ease, Mr. Paris. I know it's late.
Can I get you anything?
No, thank you.
Now, why do I get the feeling this isn't just a social call?
I've just spoken to the doctor. And it's his opinion that we let Ensign Kim make the test flight.
Frustration and disappointment cloud Tom's features.
May I ask why?
He checked over your biometric readings from the shuttle simulations. He says you have a slight enzymatic imbalance in your cerebellum.
So?
I know it doesn't sound like much, but he can't predict what'll happen when you cross the threshold. He believes there's a small chance that you could suffer a brain hemorrhage under the subspace stress.
How big a chance?
2%.
2%?! I'll take that chance.
There's no reason to. Ensign Kim is capable of piloting the shuttle for this mission.
Yeah, he's capable. That's not the point!
What is the point, Mr. Paris?
Well, it's hard to explain, but this is my flight.
Your flight.
Paris tries to compose himself.
When I was a boy, my father used to tell me that I was special. That one day I'd do something significant. My teachers at school, all the kids, everyone used to say, Tom Paris is going to do something important when he grows up. Obviously, that didn't happen.
This isn't about personal redemption. We're talking about medical risk. Your life could be in danger, and we need you.
Captain, this is the first time in 10 years I feel I have a life to risk.
You're sure about this?
Captain, I've never been so sure about anything. please. Please let me make the flight.
Fixing her eyes on him, the captain stands and moves to stand in front of Tom.
Good luck, Lieutenant.
As she smiles and leaves, Tom heaves a sigh of relief.
Torista Bridge. The pre-launch sequence is complete, Captain.
Acknowledged. Ensign Kim, depressurize the shuttle bay and open the space doors.
Aye, Captain.
Bridge to shuttlecraft Cochrane. You're cleared for launch.
Aye, Captain.
See you at warp 10.
Harris' small craft takes flight from the shuttle bay in Voyager's stern. He brings the shuttle alongside Voyager, and then both craft leap into warp in a bright flash of energy.
Cochrane to Voyager. All systems are nominal. I'm increasing speed.
We'll keep up with you as long as we can.
Warp 7. Warp 8.
How's his dilithium matrix holding
warp
up?
Warp 9.
There's a slight variance in the warp field, but nothing to worry about.
Okay. Torus to shuttlecraft Cochrane. You're clear for transwarp velocity.
Acknowledged. Engaging transwarp drive in 4, 3, 2.
He is thrown backwards.
Warp 9.7. 9.8. 9.9.
He is exceeding our maximum velocity. I am switching to long-range sensors.
Warp 9.95.
He is approaching the threshold.
Engine output at maximum. Velocity. Warp 10.
Yes.
Transwarp engines are stable. So are the nacelle pylons.
I'm going to... Oh, my God.
Lieutenant, can you hear me?
Captain, he just disappeared off sensors.
Increase sensor gain to maximum.
Nothing. I can't find him. He's gone.
They all look stunned.
I've done 3 full sensor sweeps. No sign of the shuttle within 5 parsecs.
Tuvok, could the shuttle have been destroyed?
I don't believe so. Sensors indicate that he did cross the warp threshold.
If that's true, then he could be anywhere in the universe.
We'll just have to keep searching our small corner. Run a multispectral sweep. I want to
Captain,
see if...
There's a quantum surge off the port bow. Something is coming out of subspace.
The shuttle streaks to a halt.
Janeway to Paris.
He's alive, but his life signs are weak.
Bridge to transporter room 2. Beam Mr. Paris directly to sickbay. Commander, bring the shuttle aboard. I'll be in sickbay.
Aye, Captain.
His life signs are normal. A few elevated serotonin readings in the hypothalamus. From what I can tell, he's just asleep.
Can you wake him?
I don't see why not. Wake up, Lieutenant!
Janeway frowns at the doctor.
Are you all right, Tom?
I'm back.
We tracked you until you crossed the threshold. Then you disappeared from our sensors. Do you remember what happened?
Oh, yeah. I was staring at the velocity indicator. It said warp 10. And then, as I watched it, I suddenly realized that I was watching myself as well. I could see the outside of the shuttle. I could see Voyager. I could see inside Voyager. I could see inside this room. For a moment, I was everywhere. I mean, everywhere, Captain. With the Kazon, back home, with the Klingons, other galaxies, it was all there. I don't know how else to explain it. It was like... Well, no, it wasn't like anything.
Well, I'm glad you had a good time.
How did you get back to Voyager?
I saw that you were looking for me. So I took the new engines offline and ended up back where I started. It's starting to slip away. It all was so vivid, and now...
Tom!
Oh, I'm fine. How's the shuttle?
You brought it back without a scratch. The onboard sensors confirm that you did it. You made it to warp 10.
Congratulations, Mr. Paris. You just made the history books.
We should download the shuttle sensor logs. Analyze the telemetry they picked up during the flight before we make another attempt.
You're not going anywhere. At least not for a few hours. I have some tests I'd like to run on Your Majesty before I release you back into the realm of ordinary humans.
You may proceed.
We'll download the logs. I'll let you know what we find.
B'Elanna pats Tom affectionately on the leg as she and the captain leave. Later, B'Elanna and Janeway are in engineering.
Janeway to Kim, we're ready.
Acknowledged. I'm downloading the logs into the engineering computer core.
This data describes, literally, every cubic centimeter in this sector. It's over 5 billion gigaquads of information.
It would appear that the theory of infinite velocity is correct. It may be possible to occupy every point in the universe simultaneously.
Then it's just a matter of navigation. If we could figure out how to come out of transwarp at a specific point, this could get us home.
We could do more than that. It could change the very nature of our existence. Think of it. There would be nothing beyond our reach. This telemetry is giving us an invaluable record of this sector. We can use it to make a star chart. Transfer the shuttle logs to stellar cartography for analysis.
Right.
They have failed to notice a young ensign eavesdropping on their conversation. Later, B'Elanna and Tom are in the mess hall.
This is a new blend. I'm calling it Paris Delight. It's in honor of you.
What? Oh, thanks. That's very flattering.
I can tell.
Well, you might as well get used to it. You're a hero now.
I wish I could say it was nothing. Oh, I wish Neelix would name something after me that tasted a little better.
Smells okay.
No, trust me. You're taking your life into your hands. So, I think the next step is to try to duplicate the first shuttle flight, verify our results.
I agree. We have to confirm that none of this was a fluke.
But I do think that we should increase the shuttle's memory core by at least...
He looks unwell.
What? What's wrong?
I don't think that coffee is settling too well.
You want to go back to sickbay?
No. I've seen enough of the doctor for one day. Oh, on second thought, maybe I should...
Clutching his head, Tom suddenly collapses to the floor.
Taurus to transporter room 2. Medical emergency. Beam Lieutenant Paris directly to sickbay.
I can't lock onto him. His pattern keeps changing.
Taurus to sickbay. We need a medical team in the mess hall right away. Hang on, Tom.
Tom looks up at her, eyes wide in pain and fear. Shortly, he is brought into sickbay and the doctor begins his scan.
It looks like he's having an allergic reaction. What did he ingest?
Just a cup of Neelix's coffee.
It's a miracle he's still alive. This is strange.
What is?
He's definitely having an allergic reaction to the water in the coffee.
He's allergic to water?
I don't know how this is possible, but it appears that his entire biochemistry is changing. His electrolytes are breaking down, interstitial fluids are congealing.
Concerned by Tom's breathing, the doctor scans his chest.
The alveoli in his lungs are mutating. He's no longer processing oxygen.
What should we do?
Stand back. Computer, erect an isolation field around the surgical bay. Computer, remove all the air from within the force field and replace it with 80% nitrogen and 20% acid dichloride. He can breathe, for now.
What's happening to him?
I have no idea, but I assume it had something to do with his experience on the shuttle.
No!
His cellular membranes are deteriorating. He's dying. I need to know more about what happened on that shuttle, and I need to know it now. Radiation levels, unexplained anomalies, anything.
The doctor and Kes are working frantically to find answers. Tom looks terrible. His skin is blotchy, his eyes are red, and veins are standing out around his temples.
You're losing me, aren't you? I'm gonna die.
You're too stubborn to die, Mr. Paris. I want to try high-saturation radiometric therapy. It might slow down his cellular mutation.
Here lies Thomas Eugene Paris, beloved mutant.
A fitting epitaph, but I don't intend to let you use it just yet.
Radiometric emitters are charged and ready.
Begin with 45 rads per second.
Great. Now it'll read, beloved radioactive mutant.
No effect. Increase the dosage to 85 rads per second. I'm going to try inhibiting the cell mitosis with a biosuppressor field.
Big funeral. With lots of pretty girls all crying. Except Taurus. Taurus doesn't cry. Do you ever notice that? I don't trust people who don't cry. Of course, my father. He'd say crying is a sign of weakness. I never believed that. Do you cry?
It's not in my program.
Shame. You know, it's funny. What I remember most about being a kid are the times I spent in my room crying. I like my room, though. It was quiet in there. People'd leave me alone. I'd keep the door locked, read, play games. I lost my virginity in that room. 17. Parents were away for the weekend.
I'll note that in your medical file. His lymphatic system is collapsing. Increase dosage to 98 rads per second.
Pepperoni! God, I'd love a pepperoni pizza with caviar and olives right now. I'm starving!
His life signs are critical. Maximum dosage.
Kiss me.
What?
Not you, her.
She can't breathe the atmosphere in here.
Consider it a last request.
Sorry, Tom, if we let down the force field, you'll suffocate.
Oh, what's the difference? I'm dying anyway. Do me a favor. When I'm gone, call Starfleet headquarters. And tell Dad that I did it. Tell him.
Tom's eyes widen, then close. He goes limp.
Prepare to activate the neural simulator.
Ready.
Now. Again. Again.
The doctor frowns as Tom remains lifeless.
No neural activity.
We can try to revive him.
His cell membranes have degraded. There's nothing more we can do. Computer. Remove the acid dichloride gas from the isolation field. And deactivate the field.
As the doctor removes the small stimulator box from Tom's forehead, Kes approaches. She looks very upset.
It will be necessary for us to perform an autopsy on the lieutenant's body in the morning. Until then, I suggest you get some rest.
Kes steps forward and kisses Tom lightly on the forehead. She steps back, looking close to tears, and walks away from his bedside. The doctor, working alone at his console in sickbay, looks up as if he hears a noise. He frowns and carries on working. He is then distracted by the noise again and rises to investigate. The noise seems to be coming from somewhere in sickbay. He follows the sound to the bay where Tom Paris' body lies covered with a sheet. He lifts the shroud and steps back amazed to see that Tom is breathing again.
You're alive.
With difficulty, Tom raises his hand to his head and painfully removes a clump of hair from his scalp. He looks at it in horror.
What's happening?
The doctor frowns and goes to look at Tom's life support readings.
All of your internal organs are functioning again. In fact, you seem to have an extra one.
What?
You have two hearts.
Tom looks shocked as the computer shows two hearts beating in his chest cavity. Elsewhere, crewman Jonas is preparing to make a transmission.
I have 30 seconds before security picks up this transmission. I'm sending you all current information on the Warp 10 shuttle flight.
Warp 10? That's impossible.
Not anymore. Lieutenant Paris crossed the threshold this morning.
You survived?
In a manner of speaking, it's all in file. This should prove my worth to you, Reddick.
We'll see.
Jonas smiles nervously as he finishes his transmission to the Kazon leader.
His body is going through some sort of mutation. His DNA is rewriting itself. To what end, I don't know.
Does this have anything to do with the enzymatic imbalance you found?
No.
Can you stop it?
So far, nothing has worked. The mutations are unlike anything in Starfleet medical records. His internal organs are being rearranged. Some have atrophied and been absorbed into his body. And there are at least three others that have appeared and have no identifiable function at all.
What about his brain?
There are neuroelectrical transmutations at work. His synaptic patterns are changing almost every second. But he does still recognize me. The ship. He knows who he is.
Can I talk to him?
Of course. But I feel I should caution you that while he still is Tom Paris, he's becoming something else as well. His personality is erratic, unpredictable. There are moments of lucidity interspersed with almost deranged behavior.
I'll keep it in mind.
Nervously and deeply concerned, Janeway approaches Paris on his sickbed. His skin appears puffy and bloated and is coming off in large yellow flakes.
Pretty disgusting, huh?
You've looked better. How do you feel?
Like a lab experiment gone wrong.
Well, we're trying to put that experiment right. The doctor's working on a way to restore your DNA to its original...
Why?
Excuse me?
Why? What I'm becoming will probably be better than who I was.
Lieutenant, you know that's not true.
Oh, yes, it is. Admit it. Part of you will be glad to see me gone. I'm the Maquis traitor who sits on your bridge and insults your uniform, remember?
We're all concerned about you, Tom. We're here to help you.
No, you're not. You're trying to take this away from me.
Take what away from you?
What I'm becoming. How do you know this isn't good for me? How do you know this isn't the best thing that's ever happened to me?
That's a possibility. And then again, it could kill you. We need to find out what's going on.
You're lying. Just like him. Just like everyone around here. Always lying. Always telling me that I'm doing a good job, that you're glad I'm on the ship. But none of that's true. Why can't you just say it? You're jealous that I broke the transwarp barrier, and now you're hoping I'll die!
You're right, Doctor. I don't think there's anything I can do here.
Wait, Captain. I'm sorry. Please come back. I know you're doing what you can. It's just... I'm scared. I didn't mean to lash out at you.
What you're going through would scare any of us, but you have to hang on, Tom. We're doing everything we can to help you.
I know you are. And I know you'll fail!
Lunges at the captain, but bounces off the force field, keeping him in sick bay.
You know, I used to look up to you. But now you seem so small, so insignificant. You don't even know what...
As the captain, Kez, and the doctor look on in horror, Tom convulses and removes his tongue from his mouth. At first horrified, he suddenly looks at them and grins. Later in sickbay, Kez and the doctor are still looking for answers.
Doctor? The rate of genetic mutation has accelerated by 12%.
I want you to run a nucleogenic scan to determine how much of his original DNA is left intact. In the meantime, I'm going to see about treating him with...
Doctor!
What is it now, Mr. Paris?
I need to talk.
So I've noticed. Is it urgent? I'm rather busy right now.
Urgent. Yes. Urgent. Let me out of here.
I'm afraid that's not possible.
Please. I can't stay here. I have to get off this ship.
Leave Voyager? Why?
I understand. It's all so clear now.
What do you understand?
The present, the past, they're both in the future. The future is in the past.
I beg your pardon.
Listen to me. I am more. I'm everything. Let me go.
Go where, Tom?
I can't! Please. Please.
Something tells me we'd better hurry.
I believe the answer lies in forcing his DNA to revert to its original coding. Once that occurs, his body should return to its former state.
How do we do that?
We destroy all of the new DNA in his body. His cells will have to use the original coding as a blueprint. But the only way to destroy the mutant DNA is with highly focused antiproton radiation.
Antiprotons? The only place on this ship which generates antiprotons is the warp core.
Exactly. I'd like to place Mr. Paris in an isotropic restraint, and then infuse it with controlled antiproton bursts. A tricky venture, but I see no other alternative.
We'll have to take the warp core offline, then I'll need about 3 hours to set up an interface.
In 3 hours, there won't be anything left of Mr. Paris to save. We have to make the attempt within an hour, at the most.
Get moving.
Chakotay and Torres leap to their feet to obey the captain's order. Shortly in engineering, lying in a large metallic restraint placed next to the warp core, Tom Paris is straining to get out. He looks more and more reptilian.
What's your status, Lieutenant?
The interface is charged and ready.
Infuse him with a 2-second antiproton burst.
Take the warp engines offline. Bleed off point 057 AMUs of antiproton radiation. Shunt it through the interface.
Transfer underway.
The increasingly lizard-like Paris is straining to break out of the device holding him. The locks seem to be weakening.
Doctor. The mutated DNA in his liver cells has begun to deteriorate, but the original coding isn't taking over.
I don't understand. This should be working. We'll have to increase the duration of the bursts. Lieutenant, prepare a 5-second burst. Also, you'll need to begin depolarizing the...
Oh, God.
Lieutenant? Lieutenant, what's happening?
A battle is clearly going on in engineering, with phasers being fired. Kez and the doctor look at each other worried as a phaser blast takes out their monitor feed and their screen goes blank.
This is a level 3 security alert. All hands report to duty stations.
Janeway to bridge, report.
Paris broke out of confinement in engineering.
He used a phaser on the port plasma conduit. We have power failures all over the ship.
Where is he now?
We're having trouble tracking him. We can't get power to the internal sensors. Tuvok has security teams searching deck by deck.
I'm on my way to the bridge.
About to enter the turbo lift, Janeway senses a presence nearby. As she puts a hand to her phaser, she is leapt upon by the reptilian Paris and stunned by a phaser blast.
Phaser discharge on deck 6.
Localize it.
I'm still having trouble with internal sensors. Came from somewhere between sections 21 and 27 Alpha.
Tuvok doesn't have any security in that area. Chakotay to Tuvok. We think Paris may be on deck 6. Deploy security to sections 21 through 27 Alpha.
Paris places the unconscious captain on the deck of the shuttlecraft Cochrane and maneuvers himself into the pilot seat.
Commander, someone's depressurizing Shuttle Bay 2.
What?
There's a launch in progress.
Tractor beam.
It's offline.
Tuvok to bridge. We found the captain's phaser on deck 6, but there's no sign of her.
The shuttle flips into high warp.
Maintain a sensor lock on that shuttle.
I've got main power back.
Engage warp engines. Follow them.
Aye, Commander.
They're approaching warp 9.9.
Increase speed to match.
Warning, nearing maximum warp velocity. Structural collapse is imminent.
Are we in tractor range?
No, and they're still accelerating. Warp 9.97.
Warning, at present speed, structural failure in 45 seconds.
Reduce speed to warp 9.5. Keep a sensor lock on them as long as you can.
I've lost them, Commander. They've gone to transwarp.
As Chakotay stands frozen to the spot, the captain awakes on the Cochrane. She sees the reptile Paris manipulating the controls and begins to feel herself merging with the very stars themselves.
First officer's log, stardate 49373.4. It's taken us 3 days to locate the shuttle. It appears to have dropped out of transwarp in an uninhabited star system.
I've re-examined the data on Mr. Paris' transformation, and I think I understand what's happening to him. The mutations we observed are natural.
Natural?
The changes in his DNA are consistent with the evolutionary development of the human genotype observed over the past 4 million years. Increased brain capacity, the loss of vestigial organs.
Are you saying Lieutenant Paris is evolving?
That's my theory. The only difference between natural evolution and what happened to Mr. Paris is that his changes took place over a 24-hour period. Somehow, traveling at infinite velocity accelerated the natural human evolutionary process by millions of years. It's possible that Mr. Paris represents a future stage in human development, although I can't say it's very attractive.
What do we do about it?
I think my antiproton approach was correct. However, I'll need to intensify the treatment to restore his original DNA.
Bridge to Chakotay.
Go ahead.
I think I found the shuttlecraft, Commander. It's on the fourth planet in one of the jungles near the equator.
Acknowledged. Tuvok, have a security team meet us in transporter room 3.
Chakotay and Tuvok hurry from the sickbay and prepare to transport. On the surface of the jungle planet, there are two large reptiles lying next to a stagnant pool. Although their bodies are long and reptilian, their front legs seem curiously human. Chakotay, Tuvok, and the away team beam down a short distance away. Moving through the undergrowth, they see the two creatures in front of them, who become agitated as they approach. Chakotay raises his phaser and stuns first one, then the other. He and Tuvok move forward to take tricorder readings.
There are traces of human DNA. It's them. But I have to admit, I'm not sure which one is the captain.
The female, obviously.
As Tuvok and Chakotay watch in astonishment, three young reptiles slither from a hole in the ground and crawl away, dropping into the nearby pool.
I don't know how I'm going to enter this into the log.
I look forward to reading it.
First officer's log, supplemental. We've transported the captain and Mr. Paris back to sickbay. As for their offspring, I've decided to leave them in their new habitat.
I've eradicated all traces of the mutant DNA from your system and restored your original genome. Congratulations. You're human again.
Thank you, Doctor.
Captain, it'll take some time for your genetic codes to stabilize. I'd like you to remain in sickbay for the next 3 days, just to be safe.
Excuse me.
Captain,
I've thought about having children. But I must say, I never considered having them with you.
Oh, Captain, I'm sorry. I don't know what to say, except I don't remember very much about, you know.
What makes you think it was your idea? Sometimes it's the female of a species that initiates mating. But apology accepted, nonetheless. You may be interested to know I'm putting you in for a commendation. Regardless of the outcome, you did make the first transwarp flight.
Thank you, Captain.
Is there something wrong, Lieutenant?
I don't know. I guess this whole experience has left me feeling a little overwhelmed. Flying at warp 10, evolving into a new life form, mating, having alien offspring.
You've broken more than one record, that's for sure.
Breaking the threshold. It was incredible. But somehow it doesn't mean as much as I thought it would.
Huh?
I guess I went into this looking for a quick fix. I thought making history would change things, not just my service record, my reputation.
If I'm not mistaken, you've changed quite a few minds on this ship. You've earned a lot of people's respect and admiration.
Yeah. But I'm starting to realize that it's not other people's opinions I should be worried about. It's mine. Seems, Captain, that I still have a few barriers to break. I just hope they're not theoretical impossibilities.
Somehow, I don't think they will be.
Paris and the captain exchange a warm smile as Voyager gets back underway. The end.